Welcome to the TEEP Podcast. It's brought to you by CECO and UH Energy. I'm your host, Gary Gildert, and we have a special episode this week where we are talking to Margaret Cook of HARC. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So you wrote a fascinating article a couple of weeks ago now. It was even featured in the Houston Chronicle. I've read it a couple of times and still a little bit overwhelmed. So the name of the article is Thirsty Data and the Lone Star State, the Impact of Data Center Growth on Texas Water Supply. So, Margaret, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I work at HARC. HARC is a sustainability-focused nonprofit based in the Woodlands, Texas, but we do work all throughout Texas and even in some other states focused on air, energy, water, and climate issues. So we partner with local governments, with industry, with communities, and we work on projects where we can help make the world a better place. Obviously, I love to do that type of work, but I also studied civil engineering, environmental and water resources engineering, and policy at the University of Texas. Got 4 degrees there, and also at the same time, I got to do the dual degree program at UT. It's a great experience. It helped focus the engineering work I was doing on the public issues that I care about and making sure that science is translatable for the public, which obviously influences the work that I'm doing today. But while I was a student, I also worked at the Texas Legislature, then the Department of Energy, Austin Energy, and then Apache, working on their water for oil and gas operations. There got a lot of exposure to water energy nexus issues, water for cooling at power plants, water for oil and gas operations, water markets, and that obviously influences the work for this paper, which is water for cooling.
So what motivated you to write about data centers?
So we started looking at this topic because at the beginning of 2025, there were a lot of questions from the public, from the state legislators, from other even water experts about what was happening. And it felt like there was an information gap. And there still is that information gap, even with the paper that we put out. There's a vacuum of information on what is actually happening with these data centers. Even when they release a press release about their facility, they may include a little bit of information about cooling, but it still is not enough to understand what's happening, to understand what the water impacts could be, to understand how much water could be used, how a community could be impacted. And in general, there's just a lot of secrecy around these facilities growing. And obviously, it's because of the nature of that industry and the massive amount of investments that's happening and how fast that's happening and how much competition is inherent in that operation. But at the same time, that doesn't help build trust in communities that they're coming into. And it breeds this confusion and, in some cases, anger about what's happening. And we need to be able to fill that void. And in particular with water, we need to be able to fill it so that we can plan for those water needs. And it takes a really long time to build that infrastructure. So we need that information now.
I agree with you completely. The talk is mainly about, well, the power that's required. But those of us who have studied it, and yourself and me, know that there's a water impact. And you've broken it down into a couple of different areas between the generation and the cooling. One stat that I find fascinating is on the energy side, 40% of the energy required for a data center is for the cooling. Now, what about water? Maybe you can explain a little bit about why data centers need water and where's that impact?
A lot of the energy that is consumed at data centers goes into running that computing equipment, which then gives off heat, and it needs to be kept cool for them to be able to work well. I don't know if you've ever had your laptop on your lap and felt it heat up against your skin.
Yes.
Or had your phone.
Most people can relate to that.
If you've had your phone out in the sun and you get that hot weather warning, I think a lot of Texans have seen that. And your phone stops working when it's that hot. So obviously the data centers don't want that to happen, don't want to hurt their equipment. They want it to keep running. So they need to keep that equipment cool. And in order to keep it cool, there are a few different, there are many different types of cooling technologies. But one of the most efficient ways to cool data centers is to pair a cooling technology that keeps the building cool with a heat rejection technology like a water chiller, because water is such an efficient cooling fluid. So that's where we get that water consumption from, is not necessarily the loop that is running through the system on the inside. Frequently, it'll be described as a closed loop or some other type of system. It's that heat rejection technology. If it's a water-based technology, we're going to have a lot of evaporation from that system and need to replace that water that was evaporated, and then that's more consumption. And while that water is not out of the water system entirely, if it's evaporated, it is out of the watershed. So it's not able to be used by the local community that is nearby.
What about the planning? Isn't there a lot of planning going into all these data centers and the water need? It doesn't sound like it.
At the companies themselves, I think there is a decent amount of planning. I know some folks that are in the water divisions in some companies, and they do have very important jobs in determining what water technologies are going to be used at the systems and where they're going to source water. At the same time, we have a lot of water planners in the state of Texas. We have one of the premier water plans in the United States. Texas is known for very good water planning comparatively. Other states that have more access to water than we do are not necessarily planning as much as we are, and that does contribute to it. So we are influenced by the drought of the 1950s and how impactful that was for Texas, and that's why we have a state water plan. So keeping that in mind, we are drought prone, so now we are better water planners. We have a five-year water planning cycle. It's built from data that the Texas Water Development Board puts together. They have historical water use surveys. They have population forecasts that they rely on. They provide that data to the regional water planning groups, which are multi-stakeholder groups. Lots of folks from industry, utilities, agriculture, et cetera, the energy sector, coming together to put together the plan for that region using that data. And then the Texas Water Development Board approves those plans and they become the state water plan. So they weave all that together. Our next one will get published for 2027. So the regional water plans have already been put together. And I say all that to say we don't have that data center information, which means it's not in that state water plan. And we also use that state water plan to inform how the water infrastructure funding at the state level is dispersed. It has to be allocated towards something that's a strategy in the state water plan. So if we don't have these new huge water uses in the state water plan, we're not planning for those new users. Then when they come into communities and communities provide that water to them, the water that they're giving them is the water that was planned to provide to community members. And the infrastructure that is needed for providing that water currently and then later that will be needed to provide to their population may or may not be accounted for in those decisions. And what we argue is that it has to be accounted for, or you're going to have much higher rates for community members as they pay for new water supplies in the future.
Absolutely. You know, it's sounding great at first, but for the data centers to be not part of the plan yet is a little bit scary. It's I hope that'll come together pretty soon. So from this article and all the fabulous research that you've done on it, was there anything that you saw that you found surprising or you weren't aware of before?
Not necessarily surprising. I think we were pleasantly surprised to see the efficiency in water cooling technologies that has improved over time. Like I said, it's gone down by more than half. So significant achievements in the amount of water use per megawatt at data centers. And part of that is due to economies of scale, and part of that is due to technology changes or improvements. So we are seeing that they're taking water seriously in those improvements. At the same time, we'd like them to be more open, more transparent about water use, and then obviously join the water planning process so that we can have collaborative decisions made for our water future.
What are your top recommendations based on what we've seen from the industry right now?
Number one is please be more transparent, provide those water demands both for existing facilities and for planned under construction facilities. If they're impending water users, that's also really good information to have in the state water plan, so that we can make sure that there's water available for everybody in that area. We also recommend in the paper that data centers be part of collaborative solutions, investing in water infrastructure so that the new supplies that they need are covered by that investment and not borne by a shared increased water rate in the community, whether that's now or in the future. Yeah. That could be a full investment or a public-private partnership, a shared investment. We also recommend that communities leverage these investments that data centers are making themselves, where they can capitalize a water project that can then be shared by the region. So for example, a brackish water desalination facility, something like that, that could be a benefit to the communities nearby. We recommend water, alternative water supplies like brackish water or water reuse, or water efficient strategies like using dry cooling or at power plants or at data centers. All of those need to be done with care. There could be negative impacts of each of those things, so those need to be reviewed and evaluated, and those negative impacts need to be mitigated as much as possible for those decisions to be made. And we'd also like data centers to be considering, and Microsoft recently mentioned this in their announcement, and Google has been looking at this as well, offsetting their water use in the same basin through investments in other water strategies, like improving water leaks in a nearby community, investing in nature-based solutions or watershed improvement plans, things that could make more water available for that same watershed or the same aquifer at the same time that they're using water. So offsetting that remaining net zero or even net negative in their water use.
Margaret, it's been a terrific discussion. I hope to see you the next time I come out to HARC, and we can continue this discussion.
That'd be great, Gary.
Well, thank you very much. If you want to hear more about water and data centers, we have the Water Forum taking place on March the 5th. And we have Carlos Gamera will be speaking on this subject as well. And of course, your article, Margaret Cook of HARC, we can go to your website and download the article, and it's a fascinating read. So again, thank you very much, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more from the TEEP podcast.